There's been another plane-helicopter mid-air collision. The aerobatic world mourns Vicky Cruz. And let's hope the far aim is printed on recyclable paper. This is Aero News. I'm Paul Plack. Thanks for downloading this AeroCast. Here's what's up in aviation for Monday, August 24th, 2009. Details were still vague as of our deadline, but police officials in Western Germany confirm a Sunday afternoon mid-air collision between a small plane and a helicopter east of Stuttgart has claimed four lives. All four were aboard the helicopter, which hit the ground after the collision and burst into flames. The plane was damaged and lost power, but the pilot reportedly made a successful dead-stick landing despite sustaining serious injuries in the collision. More details as we get them. The aerobatic world is mourning the loss Saturday of 40-year-old Vicky Cruz, president of the International Aerobatics Club, during a qualifying flight for the World Aerobatic Championships at the Silverstone Grand Prix site in England. Officials at the scene were told by witnesses that Cruz's Edge 540 turned toward the ground following a steep climb and just never pulled out. Team manager Norm DeWitt told the Associated Press he suspects a mechanical problem causing loss of control at an altitude which precluded a bailout attempt. The UK Air Accidents Investigation Branch is on the scene. Vicky also had a personal connection to the ANN family. Read more, dated August 22nd, at aero-news.net. The U.S. Bureau of Land Management has now confirmed the identity of a pilot who died when an Air Tractor 802 being used to fight the Hoyt fire near Fallon, Nevada, went down on Thursday. BLM says the pilot, Dave Jamsa, was an employee of Minuteman Aerial Application of Missoula, Montana. He was the lone casualty. The Hoyt fire has burned about 1,300 acres in a remote area. No structures are currently threatened. Your copy of the FAR AIM is about to become obsolete. The FAA Friday published in the Federal Register revisions to 102 regulations in Parts 61, 91, and 141 following a two-and-a-half-year review process involving almost 2,000 public comments. The new regs take effect in October. The updates have not yet made it to the FAA website, but address issues ranging from training and qualification using night goggles to the use of flight simulators to maintain instrument currency to the use of military instruction credentials toward civilian instructor certificates. The FAA promises you'll be able to read them for yourself at FAA.gov in a few days. Well, it's over, or at least into a new chapter. A federal judge Thursday declared Mason Hollins Eclipse Aerospace the new owner of what's left of Eclipse Aviation, accepting a $40 million offer. The Associated Press has reported that the new owners will keep the Eclipse Aviation name. Holland says, quote, "The old Eclipse was a great company. They made a great product, but the fatal flaw was they focused on growth first and profit second. We're going to focus on profitability first and growth second," unquote. Eclipse Aerospace co-founder Mike Press says the company's initial business model will come from refurbishments of the 259 jets already in service, many of which are still waiting for upgrades promised by the original company. He tells AP, quote, "We're going to price it with some profit, but we're not going to gouge the owners," unquote. Holland and Press hope the company will eventually employ about 500 people. There's nothing specific in the plan revealed to date to restart production of the airplane. Holland has said earlier he expected to announce his executive team quickly after the sale was finalized and to be back up and running in Albuquerque by the end of this month. That would be this week. Up next on ANN, DOT targets Mesaba Airlines for its role in a notorious tarmac stranding. Gulfstream proposes the FAA reduce its fine 99%. And Boeing is promising the Dreamliner will fly this year. You're listening to Aero News.
Diamond Aircraft's new DA-40 Diamond Star XL includes all popular Diamond options, combined with the sensational new Garmin GFC-700 Autopilot, a higher performance power plant, and increased gross weight. This makes the Diamond Star XL the perfect choice for affordable personal flying. The Diamond Star XL features equipment and enhancements that increase performance, capability, safety, convenience, and comfort. Visit Diamond on the web at www.diamondair.com or call 888-359-3020.
We're back with more of your Aero Briefing for August 24th. I'm Paul Plack. The aftermath of that overnight tarmac stranding of 47 ExpressJet passengers August 8th in Rochester, Minnesota, is resulting in some conclusions. What at first looked like self-defensive finger-pointing by ExpressJet and Continental is being at least partially borne out by the DOT. If you recall, when ExpressJet partially blamed an inability to allow passengers to exit the plane for the terminal on government regulations, U.S. Transportation Secretary Ray LaHood responded with indignation and an announcement he was having his general counsel investigate criminal wrongdoing on the airline's part. Now, LaHood says the fault appears to lie with Masaba Airlines, a downchain partner of Delta, which was the only carrier at Rochester in a position to assist ExpressJet. Quote, "The local representative of Masaba Airlines improperly refused the requests of the captain to let her passengers off the plane. The representative incorrectly said that the airport was closed to passengers for security reasons, which led to this nightmare for those stuck on the plane. There was a complete lack of common sense here. It's no wonder the flying public is so angry and frustrated," unquote. LaHood says the Aviation Enforcement Office is now considering action against Masaba, but the investigation still faults ExpressJet and Continental for failing to get their higher-ups involved in bringing pressure to resolve the situation. That issue might be interesting to solve. It's not clear how many muckety-mucks at airlines take calls after midnight. Gulfstream Airlines, recently socked with a $1.3 million fine by the FAA, admits there are errors in its record-keeping and that it engaged in some other improper practices, but company executives say the fine was 100 times too high. In a response to the FAA obtained by the South Florida Sun-Sentinel through a Freedom of Information request, Gulfstream says $12,500 would be reasonable, given the scope of the problems. The FAA says it found hundreds of discrepancies between crew logs and computer-generated schedules, and more problems with aircraft maintenance and dispatcher schedules. On the airline's website, Gulfstream CEO Dave Hackett comments, quote, "We do an outstanding job of running a safe airline for our customers and employees. The FAA identified several instances where mistakes had been made, principally in record keeping, and we have strengthened our efforts to ensure that our records are not only accurate, but clear," unquote. Gulfstream Airlines operates mainly out of Florida, flying to multiple destinations in the Bahamas, as well as several cities in Ohio. The official search for the voice and data recorders from Air France Flight 447 has been called off. While more than 50 bodies and dozens of pieces of wreckage were recovered from the Atlantic Ocean, about 360 miles off Brazil's northeast coast, the rest of the plane and its recorders are thought to be on the ocean floor, miles below the surface. The French BEA, roughly translated as Bureau of Accident Inquiries, says it will assemble an international team of investigators to determine a means to begin a new phase of the search in the future. While there's been no official announcement yet of a revised timetable for development and entry into service of Boeing's 787 Dreamliner, only guidance to expect that announcement in the fourth quarter, one of the manufacturer's biggest customers has become a back channel. Qantas Airlines, which canceled some Dreamliner orders over delays now exceeding 2 years, still has 50 of the planes on order. Now, CEO Alan Joyce tells the Australian newspaper that Boeing promises the 787 will fly this year. Boeing has said a simple patch will solve problems with composite fuselage sections made in Italy. Still ahead, a pilot's union is baffled and disgusted by Al Megrahi's release. Tom Ridge has a book coming out next month. And some people say the era of video conferencing is bad news for the airlines. You're listening to Aero News.
Uncramp your style in a new Citation CJ2 Plus from Cessna. Now with integrated ProLine 21 avionics, FADEC, and a restyled cockpit and cabin. In the CJ2 Plus, you'll carry more payload than you could in the original CJ2. You'll climb and cruise faster. You'll have the freedom to use even shorter runways. And you'll do it all on less fuel. For a sure thing, call 1-800-4-CESSNA.
We're back to wrap up your Aero Briefing for Monday, August 24th. I'm Paul Plagg. As of our deadline, NASA was reporting an 80% chance of weather favorable for the on-time launch of the Shuttle Discovery in the wee hours of tomorrow morning at 1:36 a.m. Eastern Time. Rollback of the rotating service structure that protects the shuttle before launch was planned for 5 a.m. this morning. Fueling of the external tank is scheduled to begin at 4:11 p.m., and Shuttle Weather Officer Kathy Winters says while there could be storms forming within 5 miles of the launch site earlier in the day, Sea breezes are expected to push them out of the way in time for the fueling to begin. The Allied Pilots Association, which represents 11,500 American Airlines pilots, is the latest to add its voice to the worldwide expressions of anger and disgust over Scotland's decision to release convicted terrorist Abdel Bassett El-Megrahi from prison. In an official statement, Union President Captain Lloyd Hill commented, quote, APA is baffled and disgusted that any civilized country would grant a convicted mass murderer his freedom, much less give him a hero's welcome. Terrorism remains the scourge of civilized society. His freedom sends the exact wrong message to all other would-be terrorists, unquote. Former Pennsylvania Governor Tom Ridge, who became the first director of the Department of Homeland Security, has a book coming out, and it's not likely to bust any of the stereotypes you associate with bureaucracies. Through his publicist, Ridge tells the Washington Post he was pressured by other agency heads to raise the national security threat level on the eve of the 2004 presidential election, in what appeared to be an attempt to focus public attention on issues in which then-President George W. Bush was seen as having the stronger image. In the book, Ridge writes, quote, after that episode, I knew I had to follow through with my plans to leave the federal government for the private sector, unquote. He resigned within a month. Some contemporaries in the administration deny the discussion of threat levels was politically motivated. The book is titled The Test of Our Times, America Under Siege, and How We Can Be Safe Again. It's due for release on September 1st, after which Ridge will reportedly be available for interviews to answer these questions himself. And finally, there seems to be some question about whether business airline travel will ever rebound fully when the recession breaks. The Chicago Tribune reports many companies have been forced in hard times to try video conferencing technology in lieu of putting its people on airplanes, and have discovered that the newer technology works really well. Linda Starr of Advanced Micro Technologies says video conferencing has cut her annual airline travel from 1 million miles a year to 100,000, a 90% reduction. Hewlett-Packard says it cut its corporate travel budget by 30%. Cisco Systems says it's cut that line by two-thirds. But Kevin McGuire, CEO of the National Business Travelers Association, says we've been hearing that for 20 years now. He says face-to-face meetings will die hard. Quote, that doesn't mean it won't happen, but it's not an easy hurdle to overcome, unquote. You know, it's hard to know what to expect. McGuire presumably would have to find another job if businesses did stop traveling. AMD, HP, and Cisco all have vested interests in promoting teleconferencing. It's human nature to expect the future to hold what will benefit us personally. You know, I remember just a few years ago, there were people running around saying newspapers and magazines would dry up and disappear as people moved to getting their news online. There were even some who claimed that people would one day give up some of the time they spend with radio to listen to something called podcasts. Yeah, we've heard it all before. And that's the latest from Aero News. Remember to check out the ANN special feature. Today, CFI Bob Miller discusses listener email about hover taxiing, forward slips, stall spins, and moving to Buffalo to get practice in real IMC. And if you haven't done it yet, subscribe to our AeroCasts at iTunes, Odeo, or at aero-news.net. I'm Paul Plack. Thanks for listening. Have a clear and unlimited day.